talking, just a couple of moms talking.
Welcome to the first ever episode of Moms Talking.
Welcome.
We're already talking over each other. Go.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Patty.
And we're just two moms talking.
That's it.
So Patty came to me one day and said, I want to do a podcast. And I'm like, all right, but I have no idea how to do that. And so why did you want to start this?
I wanted to do this because, first of all, I love podcasts. And I think there's so many interesting podcasts out there with lots of diverse voices, but you don't hear a lot of moms talking.
And talking about what?
Well, about anything. I mean, I think there's a lot to talk about, and women are a really important part of this puzzle of putting our country back together. We have a lot at stake as parents, but also as women. And I think it's really important that everybody's part of the dialogue. A lot of times, moms, women, especially really busy working moms, have a tendency to just sit back and be quiet until we're sorry that we were quiet.
Or you ask people what's going on and they say, I don't know, I don't follow politics, it's too depressing.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we can, like we have questions, right? But we also have a lot at stake. So I think we should be talking to each other and hopefully figuring out how we can work with other people who also have a lot at stake. And sometimes it's easier, you know, when you hear people like you talking to absorb the message or the information. So hopefully we can talk to other moms who aren't, you know, they're not hearing anybody talking about these topics out there that they can really relate to, or talking about it from a perspective that they can relate to.
Yeah.
But I also want to, not make it serious all the time.
Yeah, definitely have some fun.
And we should tell people, in case you, we are on the left coast, and we are typical left coast liberals. I think, you know, whatever you could say is typical. So if you're wondering what our political perspective
but
is going to be.
But we do eat meat, and it's like not totally organic.
Yeah, you know. not organic, and I only own one very old pair of yoga pants.
I don't own any. So you're speaking.
Oh, boy. So the way we thought we'd structure this is keep it short and sweet. We're going to have other moms on because we have other moms who want to talk. And then hopefully we can have other people, too, who can come in and out and help us
learn
stuff, answer questions for us.
I feel like I'm a very typical average American right about now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting really more and more interested in politics.
Right.
But mostly because I'm upset and sad.
Right.
And also I'm a parent, so. But there's so many questions I have.
Yeah, I feel like so many of us are just racing to get educated. And we're trying really hard to get educated, not just about politics, but about other perspectives. You know what I mean? And I know there's this whole, when I started going back to some women's rights groups meetings, that there was this, I'm laughing because the dog is making mouth noises, not because of women's rights. there was a lot of tension between some of the younger women who were there and women our age.
Tension from what?
Because I think that women, technically the south end of the baby boomers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people our age and older are like, we did this before, we have a language that we use, and they have certain ideas about younger women about that they don't understand, you know, what's at stake, and all they care about is, this is a big cliche that I heard a lot, was that all they care about is their sexual freedom.
Oh.
You know, and then younger women, though, they were raised in this whole much more diverse and inclusive environment, and especially women who have been involved with women's studies, they have a whole language that women our age, we don't know those words, you know? We're just learning, like, inclusiveness and all of that, that, you know, it's totally new. And so I'm finding, like, the two groups get frustrated with each other when right now we just need to be talking to each other. It's so...
And figuring out ways to make things better.
Yeah. Yeah, and how do we work together? Because in the end, everybody wants the same thing. We might not have the same words, but we want the same things.
Right.
So anyways, the way we wanted to structure this was each week, each person who participates in the conversation is going to say one thing that is good and one thing that is bad, or you could call it happy, sad, yes, no.
Positive, negative.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
the week. We about did the week. Dinner table with our son.
Yeah, it's a good conversation starter. And it doesn't have to be... political, but the world we live in, we're all coming up with questions.
But I want to talk about my moisturizer.
You can. I want to hear about a good moisturizer. Look, we need it. These days, we need a good moisturizer. So, do you want to do your happy sad first?
No, I'd like you to do your happy sad first.
Okay, I will. But first... we're moms, and we have kids who make a lot of noise in the house, so I had to run and close my son's door. Okay.
All right, give me your happy and sad.
So my happy is going to be political. I mean, all of us are really appalled and upset about what happened in Charlottesville.
Not all of us. There's a whole bunch of people who are
that's true.
Upset for different reasons.
There's a certain group of people that think it was great. But one thing I'm happy about is that I think it's helping everybody on the left kind of focus on what the real issue is, what the common enemy is. And I don't think we define that by race or gender. It's too easy to say, you know, all white males are our enemies. It's bigotry and racism and sexism. And basically it's white male supremacy, right? That's... And I think that one thing that we did learn from people who are kind of experts in this area is that a lot of times these racists start out as sexists. Like, mm-hmm. they hate women first, and then that grows into hating everybody else. So we have to now more than ever, you know, women have to learn to talk to Black Lives Matter. They have to learn to talk to all of these groups that are also... you know, stakeholders in this battle. But I feel like this is one thing where we could all sort of come together and agree, like, oh, now we're kind of starting to see what the issue is with very clearly with this president. And it's not about economic unfairness or any of those things, which obviously have to be addressed. But the real enemy right now is this white male supremacy.
But I think the economic... issue has a lot to do with racism.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as an educator, I'm a teacher, an educator, and, you know, if you go down the inner cities and look at the education that the poor are getting,
yeah,
it tends to be more minorities, and it's not up to the same standards. It's right. heartbreaking. And right. so that does have a lot to do with it, I think.
Well, that's what people are saying, is that it's not about, you know, statues is just the starting point, right? That racism is so ingrained in our society, and it impacts people's lives in so many ways that we need to really wake up to that. And
but so many people don't even think they're a racist when they,
right.
you know, I'm sure everybody's a little racist.
Right.
In one way or the other.
Right. Well, everyone's afraid of the other, right? We're all different. Afraid of something that's different from ourselves. There was an article this week that people were circulating about a guy, a gentleman of color who lives in the South and was a farmer in the South, and he was saying that he's less afraid of the KKK than he is of moms in yoga pants, because they're they're more likely to look at him funny and call the police and say.
See, and that's the thing. That's why we have to do this podcast, because yeah. we might be moms in yoga pants, but right. we could not be so farther from
right.
treating somebody.
Right. Like well, hopefully. Well, yeah. hopefully. And that's what he was saying is that, you know, they look out the window and they see someone who looks really different than the other people in their neighborhood. And even though they might have a Bernie sticker on their car, you know, and eat all organic, you know, they still have this fear of something that's different than themselves and they don't realize that they're being racist. Right. So we all...
Like locking your doors when you see an African-American cross the street.
Right, yeah. right, right. So it's, you know, we all have to work on that. And this is kind of like, so we all have something to work towards together, but we all have work to do individually. So that brings me to my sad. You want me to talk about my sad?
Your sad's probably the same as my sad.
Well, my sad is I want people to stop apologizing for people they know, people like them who voted for Trump. So specifically, I want white women to stop going, you know, white women voted, 53% of them voted for Trump, because 47% of them did not. And I think it's really dangerous to focus on what did we do wrong as a group. We need to focus on who in our group wants to change this, and how do we not isolate any group, but how do we talk about, how do we bring them all together? Because the truth is that if I really think that there's enough people who didn't vote.
I was just going to say, what is the percentage of white women who didn't vote?
Right. I don't know.
I'm sure it's high.
I mean, there's a large percentage of people in general who
don't vote. Because I don't like either. I don't vote. Yeah. I don't get involved in that.
Well, right, right, yeah. right. So, so identifying, you know, trying to point a finger at a group just based on how they voted is really counterproductive. Because anybody could have voted for anyone, you know. There's plenty of immigrants who voted for Trump. So let's not try and say, well, they're terrible, you know, immigrants are terrible because some of them voted for Trump. That's silly. You know what I mean? Let's talk about people who want to make things better and how do we all work together regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, country of origin, any of those things. None of that matters. You know, it's all about... Let's find common cause and work together on those things.
I feel like we're really far away from that.
I think we are. But we got to get it figured out before 2018.
I know. Well, yeah. That's kind of my sad, too, is this whole political thing. It makes me heartbroken that there's such racism that exists in the world. Because you can live in a fantasy thinking that it's much better.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It's not better. And...
Well, it's better than it was, but...
Maybe it's better. But if you're African-American, I wonder if you'd agree, no?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a tragedy. And then I was listening, my husband was telling me today about one of his favorite professors, Gary Gallagher, who works for UVA.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that instead of tearing the statues down, you know, to leave them up, I was like, oh, no! But then the counter-argument is, also, when you have those statues, add other statues that educate... Because the people who really need to be educated are the ones that might, you know, like the statues being up in the South.
Right, right.
So if you have some statues of, like, the horrific annals of slavery next to Robert E. Lee. Then you might look at Robert E. Lee and then you read the facts about slavery and the Civil War. And then maybe you look at
Tubman up next to Robert E. Lee,
and then you just—it's a different perspective that maybe those people will not get.
Yeah, because that's part of the problem is that we like to paper over our—you know—we don't like to talk about that terrible part of our history, and this is kind of all—it's stirred it all up again, which is very painful for us, but. I think it's really necessary. We have to keep being reminded, because you're right. The institutionalized racism that's impacting people's lives every day, you know, it all stems from that. And we act like it doesn't come from that. It gives people an excuse to say, like, you know, welfare moms are lazy, not welfare moms are in a position that they're in where they have to accept welfare because all of their lives they've been disadvantaged, right?
Which, and then maybe their parents were disadvantaged, and then their parents...
Right.
And slavery wasn't so long ago.
It was not that long ago.
Not that so many generations ago.
Yeah.
So,
So that's my happy sad.
That's my sad. What's a happy? Well, actually, I'm happy that that there was a counter protest to the neo-Nazis. I mean,
and then it was as big as it was.
It was, yeah, and I'm glad, because a lot of times people are passive, they don't want to get involved, but it's, I'm glad.
Yeah, I do think that that's the thing, is that people really are not standing by. Like, you know, people could just sit on their couches and go like, what can we do? And, you know, let this country get run into the ground, but they're not. Let's hope that we have some impact. That's all. But I think we already have had some impact. I mean, we stopped healthcare from being destroyed.
That's true.
Hopefully that holds. And we've essentially sent the message that the majority of the country is not going to tolerate going backwards on issues of race.
Except for, I think that works when you have a rational, normal, non-crazy person in office. When you have somebody who doesn't care and they're actually totally disillusioned about the world in general.
But I think it's
frightening.
Yeah, somebody was saying the other day, I heard them talking about how, you know, we just can't predict his behavior. 45, let's call him 45. but we do know that Congress has had some impact. They've helped to stem that tide of, you know, right-wing fascism. And we know we're having an effect on them, right?
Right.
So there were senators that voted against healthcare reform that nobody thought were going to.
That's definitely a positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
You're right. We got to work together. All the groups need to come together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a lighter topic for us to discuss next week.
Okay, what is going on?
Have you watched the show Atypical?
No.
Okay, so it's about this. I think it's really interesting because it's about, it's a Netflix show, 8 episodes. It's about a boy in high school who has autism and his family.
Awesome.
And I think it's really well written. The kids are really interesting, but the mom... And everything that I've read in the reviews of the show, they talk about the portrayal of autism, and there's, you know, yays and nays about that.
How is that lighter? Autism.
Oh, they make a comedy.
Oh, it's a comedy.
Yeah, it is. Lord. It's a comedy. They treat it really lightly, which, you know, has its pluses and minuses. But the mom, I really think, is the least likable character. She does some things that are not... that make her very unlikable.
Excellent.
And
all
I
right.
kind of want to see what your take is on that and whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Or maybe I can tell you if it's realistic or not, since I've worked with a lot of families with autistic children.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is realistic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to watch
but
it.
But I'm struggling with, like, do I want to see that mom's portrait that way on television?
Okay. Well, oh my God, I got to watch it now.
Okay.
I got to watch it.
So we're going to pause for 1 minute because we're going to see if we can bring in another mom. Welcome back to Mom's Talking. We took a break to bring in another mom.
Hi, I'm a mom.
This is Karen. She's another mom. She's also my sister.
Yay.
Yay. And everyone who comes on the show has to do a yes and a no, happy, sad. Yay, nay.
Okay.
Are you ready to share your happy, sad?
Yeah. It's a fucking mom thing, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let me think. Okay, so I have 4 kids. So there's lots of happies and lots of crazy, sad, and nuttiness. But happy. You know, I think even though it sounds a little cliche, they give you a purposeful life.
Give
me a reason to...
Having 4 kids gives you purpose?
Yeah. You know, on those days, it makes you get up sometimes. It makes me happy that every day they're happy to see me.
So Jackie and I each have 1 kid, so we can't imagine what having 4 kids is like.
But if you average that together, then we all have 2.
That's right. But we're not taking one of your kids from you, I'm sorry.
You have borrowed them on occasion.
I have. I have babysat the 4 of them, and it was very, very tiring. So I'm not sure how you do that on a daily basis. does it?
It's not really that. I mean, the craziness of it, but the happiness is that think there are four people who just think you walk on water.
Oh, wow. You must be a good mom.
Well, I don't know about that. I think they're just loving kids, but it's pretty nice to have somebody who happens to see you every single day.
So give us your, give us your sad.
The sad is I think, as a mom, sometimes I feel like I don't live up to my own expectations.
To your expectations? As a mom?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh,
I think we all feel that way. We're all, that's why I want you guys to watch Atypical. There's definitely, we could definitely have that discussion around that show. There's so, I think when moms try super, super hard, sometimes we, you know, we lose ourselves. We give everything to the project of being moms. And then we still beat ourselves up because it's impossible to be perfect, right?
And then there's nothing left.
Yeah.
In ourselves to... And that's with one child. I can't imagine four.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, see all the other jobs that we really have, that we have to make money at and all that other
right.
stuff.
Right. Well, you have to work on top of it.
Yeah. I just feel like sometimes at the end of the day, I think, oh, I could have done that better, or I let them down, or didn't take there, or I was late picking up. The stupid things you beat yourself up over.
Right. So, well, those are all things that we can talk about in coming weeks and support each other and try and figure those out. And,
that's a common theme, women beating themselves up for not being perfect.
Absolutely. Well, we were just talking about that even in the political sense that we kind of, women keep, I keep hearing other white women saying that, white women voted in the majority for Trump. And it's like, we tend to take all the responsibility on ourselves for something that went wrong, which is not to let any of those people off the hook who voted for Trump. But if you didn't vote for Trump, you don't have to carry that burden. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I know. Well, that's all over social media. It's our responsibility to make this better.
Well, I think we're trying hard and we're doing what we can do, but we also have to learn how to let ourselves off the hook every now and then when we're doing the best we can. So that will be an ongoing theme on Moms Talking.
That's funny.
All right. Anybody have anything to add for this week? You guys have an assignment for next week.
All right. I'm going to watch Atypical tonight. I watch the whole thing because I can't stop once I start binging.
Oh, I watched it all this weekend. So.
Okay. If you're doing that, I won't sleep tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, no. Sorry. I'm sorry. So I will look forward to talking to you guys again next week.
Excellent. It was nice meeting you.
Okay, I have my assignment. I'll be watching Netflix then.
All right, sounds good. And go enjoy Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. Let me do that too. Bye.
Bye. All right, I don't know how to stop this,
Andy,
but that's the end.
Mom's talking, just a couple of